strong burden on my heart tonight. I desire an interest in your prayers. I'm thankful tonight that God has an interest in you. He has an interest in me. And he's interested in us making it home safely. He paid a great price for that. The Lord loves us. He loves you. And tonight we have a choice on who we're going to follow. There's one of two ways. We can choose the way of life and of truth, or we can choose the way that is not of life and is not of truth. There's really just two ways. And I'd like to think about that for a little while tonight, ask for an interest in your prayers. I'd like to start in the book of James, and I want to start at a passage we referred to last night. We didn't turn and read it. I'd like to read it tonight in the first chapter of James, and maybe we'll read several verses in the 22nd verse. It said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We live in a world where there are many options, aren't there? We come to expect many options in a given day. There, you can buy a vehicle that is situated such that it conforms to all of the options that you would like for it to have, that just fit you. When you go into a restaurant to eat, Have you ever just wished they had three items that you could choose from? Sometimes you get menus and it's page after page after page. And people come to expect that, and they can have five pages and still begin to modify whatever it is. Could you give me that minus this? Add a little bit of that? Could I substitute that? We are accustomed to looking for many options, whatever options we can find that will satisfy whatever it is I want. Lots of options for clothes. You go into the supermarket, they sell the same thing five different ways sometimes. I worked in a cannery one time, and I was very disappointed to find out that the same exact food was going into two and three different cans, put in a store and labeled with different prices. Same stuff. But people want options. Today it's getting very serious. People are getting to the point where they want to have the option on whether they're male or female. People would like to have the option to change things that are biologically, fundamentally already set. And it is a spirit that's in the world today to want to try to have whatever it is that best meets my need with no adverse consequences. But where we just read, I only read of two options for individuals coming face to face with truth. I just see two options here. One continues in truth, continueth therein, and it's the way of life. But the only other option is the one that hears the truth, but then they go a different way and they become deceived, and it's a way of destruction. There's only two options. Having only two options in this area should cause a lot of discomfort for a lot of people in the world today. Because there's a lot of people in the world today that are looking for another option that doesn't carry with it the stark consequences that are associated with the second option. The masses today are doing this with truth. Endeavoring to customize truth to make it fit what I'd like it to be. And it's frightening. It's frightening. I've been burdened this past week with the verse in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I'd like to read it. Matthew 7 and 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And it says, and few there be that find it." Do you know why I'm troubled about this? I'm troubled about this because there are so many people in the world today that are claiming that they are at peace with the spiritual direction that they're taking. Many, many, many people claim that they're on the way of life. They're on the road to life. The masses, many people are claiming this. And yet, I read right here that it says that there's just going to be a few people that find it. Does it ever trouble you? I remember one time I was in a hotel and I was up standing in a, it was a balcony or something. I was able to look down and I was watching the masses of people go by. People everywhere. I'm in the Atlanta airport a lot and you can sit there and watch and the masses just go by. And sometimes I sit there and you wonder, are these people, are they ready to meet God? Where are they in their souls? Everybody's going somewhere. Everybody has a place to go. We're busy. We're getting on planes and we're going places and we have things to do and everybody's got an agenda and everybody's moving real fast. Some people aren't, but a lot of people there, they have a sense of urgency and they're moving and they're going somewhere. But where really are they going? Where are you going tonight? There's just two places. And I remember when I was in that hotel and I was up and I was looking down at all the people and I was troubled because I thought, well, I wonder, are they going to heaven? Might they be okay? Is it possible that the majority of people that I'm looking at down there aren't ready to meet God? Does that trouble you? You know what else troubles me is that the world has a message tonight that makes room for just about however you want to live. And if that were to be the case, if that was true, this verse would not need to be here. I wish I could sugarcoat the message tonight. I wish there was... This is not a message to sugarcoat. This is the Word of God. And Jesus said there's just going to be a few that find it. Not because there was a lot of people that wanted to find it and couldn't find it. This is the reason, and I'll come back to this later, but the reason is because there's just a few people that choose to go this way. Everybody can go this way. Jesus Christ brought a salvation plan to reach you where you are. He brought a truth that was meant to speak to your soul and to deliver you from sin and set your feet out of the pit and on a rock and put a new song in your heart and put you on the way to heaven. To eternal life. The Lord said, I would that no man would be lost, but that all would come to repentance. But it's sad because the scripture says, Jesus said, there's just going to be a few. There's just going to be a few that are going to find it. You see the problem? Yet so many people profess to be on the road of life. Where are you headed tonight? What road are you on? Oh, I know that what we would like to say, what the Lord wants us to be able to say is, yes, I'm on the road of life. Are you? And if you think that you are, pray for me tonight. If you think that you are, why? What is that? Why do you think you're on the road of life? What is your thought process been informed from? What's given you perspective on whether or not you're on the road of life? There's two places. There's a road to destruction, and it's broad and it's wide. And Jesus said, many there be that go in thereat, but there's just a straight way and broad, and there's just going to be a few people that are going to make it to the road of life. So why do you think you're on the road of life tonight? Lots of people are professing to be on the road of life. A lot of people are saying that they're not the ones that are part of the few that are spelled out here. Recall what we read in James a few moments ago. It said that the hearers of the word, but not the doers, they become deceived. We spoke a little bit about that last night. A lot of deceived people out there tonight. A lot of deceived people. And it also spoke of the man that turned away from truth and forgot it. Do you know one of the reasons why the road to destruction is so broad and it's so wide? It's got to be wide enough to accommodate all of the churches that are out there. It's got to be wide enough to accommodate all of the professing Christians that are out there. It has to be wide enough to accommodate all of the throngs and masses of people who raise their hand and say, they're saved. The ones that have willfully turned away from truth. That's who I'm talking about. That's sobering. This isn't my words, this is the word of the Lord. There's just going to be a few. The other way, it's a broad way. There's a lot of people that have heard the truth. There's a lot of people that have been exposed to the truth of the gospel. There's lots of people that go to church. Lots of chapels are out there. Go to Crossed, Arkansas, you find a church almost on every corner. They did that back in the day because you couldn't build a saloon within like a block of a church. So they built churches everywhere, so they couldn't do that. Well, people still go to all these churches. And if you want, you can find a church to go to that matches however you decide you want to live. Even if you've turned away from truth that you once had. It's not people get there and the Lord says, depart from me. You go, what? Lord, why? And you're shocked and you're confused and it blindsided you and the Lord never gave you a chance. God gave His only Son that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish. Jesus doesn't want us to perish tonight. The Lord doesn't want any of you to be lost. God wants all of us to be saved, and yet, He said a long time ago, the way is broad. Most of the people, many, many of the people, that's the way they're going to go. What is the meaning of it? It means something. The verse means something when it says, few there be that find it. I want to know what it means because I strongly suspect it means what it says. That there are many, many, many more people that are on the road to destruction than there are people that are on the road to eternal life. Have you ever noticed that there's no backsliders anymore? How often do you hear people get up and say, I thank the Lord, it saved me again. I was backslidden. I turned away from the truth. I'm not so old, but that I remember when we were teenagers, we heard people say that. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've heard somebody say that they were back in a backslidden condition. Right. You know one of the reasons why? Because it's like it feels like that in today's age, it's such that people stack hands and they're aligned around the fact that you can figure out different ways to manipulate the truth and adjust it for you so that you can be a Christian too, and that we're all going to the same place. That's one of the reasons why it's deceptive. It's one of the reasons why the scripture said he looked at his natural face in the glass and the Lord was so good and so merciful to say, this is who you are. This is you. This is your natural self. And you need me. You need help. But then it said the man turned away and he went out and forgot what manner of man he was. But then he met a whole lot of other people that went out too. And they didn't like what they saw in the mirror. They didn't like what it meant for them in their life. And so they all got together and said, well, I'll tell you what, we don't think that's necessary. We still love the Lord. We want to go to heaven. We don't want to be lost. We love the Lord. Let's just decide. We're still disciples. And so churches are everywhere. Filled with people. You've driven into towns before and you've seen the signs that have a list of all the churches. I've seen them more than once. You drive into a little town, sometimes they're smaller towns, and there's a whole list of churches that says attend the church of your choice. I don't want to attend the church of just somebody's choice. I want to know what truth is. I want to attend the church where the Holy Spirit is. I want to know what righteousness is. I want to know what unrighteousness is so that I can stay away from it. I don't want to be deceived. Because here's the thing. One of the reasons people get deceived is because there's a whole bunch of people that are aligned in going a different way and still proclaiming that they're Christians. Because we as humans find security in numbers. So if there's a whole bunch of us that says, yeah, this is right. Hey, are you going with us? Oh, where are you going? Well, we're going to Eugene. Do you know how to get there? Yeah, we know how to get there. We're all going. We can all be wrong. If your life depends on it, you'd best get a map out and understand how to get to Eugene if your life depends on it. Don't go along with the numbers. God help us to have an interest in our souls strong enough that we get down deep into the truth, that we understand, Lord, what is it that you want from me? It's also deceptive sometimes when people come and they sit under the sound of the gospel and they're hearers. They're not doers, but they're consistent hearers. Consistent hearers of the gospel, but not doers. Do you know why that's deceptive? Because if you're consistent hearers of the gospel, there's a certain comfort that, and security that comes with knowing this is where the saints are. This is where the saints meet. I know God's in that place. I've been there. I've known people that have passed on. That's where the truth is. And they're consistent hearers. And pretty soon we can become deceived and comfortable and asleep in Zion. Only we're not in Zion. We're among the people of Zion. Exposure doesn't save. Exposure to the gospel and truth doesn't save. That's not what saves us. It's acceptance of the truth. It's following after the truth. That's what saves us. Do you remember in Pilgrim's Progress when Christian was walking along, he'd pass through the narrow straight gate, remember? And he went through the gate and he was on his way to heaven and there were high walls on each side and he was walking along and all of a sudden a bag fell down in front of him. And well, there was a bag in the roadway come flying over the top of the wall. It's like, whoa, where'd the bag? All of a sudden he saw a leg flop over the top of the wall. Pretty soon a man perched up on top of the wall, hopped right down there on the road, says, where are you going? What's your name? Well, my name's Christian and I'm headed to heaven, to the celestial city. Well, that's where I'm going. You are? Well, sure, that's where I'm going too. And Christian said, well, aren't you supposed to go through the gate at the beginning? Aren't you supposed to go through the little wicket straight gate at the beginning? Where Jesus is back there, where his truth is, where we check our stuff in at the gate, where we say, Lord, I submit myself to you. Lord, is there stuff in this bag that you don't want me carrying through life? Lord, do I need to leave some of this stuff off? Yes, my child, that's going to hurt you. You go through life with that, there will be nothing but heartache. It's not according to truth. Leave that right here. Yes, Lord. And you leave that there and you go on and you're happy and the Lord's in your heart. And then all of a sudden here comes somebody coming in another way and didn't go through that same process. And Christian said, you're going there too? He says, yeah. Don't you have to go? Well, no. I mean, we're headed to the same place. Didn't work. It won't work today. And yet people all around us, saints, people all around us, that's what they're doing. There are masses with their bags filled with whatever it is they want to carry in their lives through life, and everybody's claiming that they're going to the same place we are. And if we're not careful, here's what happens. We look at our own bag and we say, I didn't know you could have that. You're going to the same place I am? Well, sure, yeah. Well, I thought I had to give that up. Well, you know, I've been carrying this other thing and doing these things that you don't have that. No, you know, that's not necessary. And pretty soon we start questioning ourselves on what it is that's necessary for us to stay on the road of life and make it to heaven, not based on truth, not based on Jesus Christ that we went through in the very beginning, but it begins to be based on somebody else's thoughts. That's dangerous. It's deceptive. And it's happening all around us. Who determines what truth is? Who determines what truth is tonight? Who determines what righteousness and unrighteousness is? Do I get to choose what it is? I don't get to choose what it is. We heard earlier in the meeting about the Old Testament being the schoolmaster. Do you remember the story of Aaron's two sons that went in and Aaron had the Lord had given them instruction on how to offer sacrifices. And Aaron, he was the high priest, and he did it just exactly according to how the Lord said to do it. And when he did that, fire from heaven came down and it consumed the sacrifice because the Lord was pleased with it. And it was wonderful. And it said the people shouted and they praised. It was a wonderful situation because they did it according to truth. They did it according to what Jesus Christ said, what the Lord said through Moses. Do it this way. And right on the heels of that, Aaron had two sons. And they went in and they decided, we're going to offer a sacrifice too. But we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to use a strange fire and incense combination. And they didn't do it like it was supposed to be done. I don't even think they were supposed to be doing it. But they did it in the name of God. I mean, it was a sacrifice to the Lord. They pulled the Lord into it. And the Lord was displeased with them, and fire came down from heaven again, not to consume the sacrifice in a glorious way where all the people could rejoice and be happy, which is what God wants to do for us, by the way.
Yes.
That's the whole plan, is for us to be happy.
The whole plan is to deliver us from the things that hurt us. The whole plan is for us to be able to lay down at bed at night, put our heads on our pillow, and have peace in our hearts towards God. The whole idea is for us to be able to go out into this sinful world and be a light for those that are in darkness, that need help, that need the gospel. That's the whole purpose, and God has a place for every single person that is in here tonight. He has a place for you to do that if you'll choose that. But when we don't do that, and we decide we're going to do it our way, and we still hang the shingle of the Lord on it, and put it over our neck and says, sacrifice unto the Lord. Lord's still part of this, but now we've deviated because we want to do it a little bit different way. What happened was fire came down and it consumed them and it burned them. Yes. 10th chapter of Leviticus. Read the story. And when that happened, he told Moses, don't sit there and mourn for these people as if you're upset about the truth of the Lord taking precedence. Don't do that. This is truth. We are not to be ashamed of truth. We're not to back up and mourn the consequences of truth. Truth is something to be good and helpful, but when people go outside of truth, there's a problem with that, and God has no other option but to separate from that. He can't be part of things that are not of truth. And so the Lord told Moses, he said, all right, listen, from now on, he said, nobody goes into the tabernacle of the congregation having drank wine or strong drink. And let it be a remembrance to you this day that there will be put a difference between clean and unclean. There's a difference between right and wrong. There's a difference between what you want to do and what God says is right. And God was the one that made that decision. It wasn't the people. And all through the Old Testament, you can read about those that had leprosy. There were laws that said, if you have leprosy, then you're separated from the rest of the camp until it's demonstrated that you no longer had leprosy. And it wasn't only people that had leprosy, by the way. There were people that had it. There were garments that had it. There were houses that got leprosy. That's right. And the law was given in all of those cases on how to handle it. And who was it that got to decide whether or not they were clean? The person who had leprosy? The person who lived in the house? That had a fungus growing in it? Because perhaps there were idols from the people that used to live in Canaan that had them in the walls and God wasn't pleased with the house. Who got to decide? It was the priest. It was the high priest that decided whether or not they were clean. And it's that way today. The law was given for us to understand all through that Old Testament. It said that it be known there's a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. That's a reason why the Lord said you can offer these things for burnt offerings and sin offerings, but don't offer these things because there's a difference. You can eat these things, but these things over here, they're unclean. And then he said why. It's not because today it's so bad for us to eat it. It's because he was making the point there's a difference. There's a difference between right and wrong. And the Lord was the one that established that. It's never worked for us to try to bring the Lord along and say, well, I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm doing wrong, but it's for all the right reasons. It didn't work for Saul. Do you remember when the Lord, the prophet told him, you go out there and destroy the Amalekites. Destroy everything that's out there. Don't leave anything alive. And here comes Samuel. And it seems like, it's been a while since I read it, but it seems like before Samuel ever said anything, Saul said, did just according to what the word of the Lord said. Samuel said, what's that noise I hear out there? Oh, the noise. Yeah, well, that's the sheep. We kept the best of the sheep to offer sacrifices to the Lord. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience.
The Lord's not interested in us finding all kinds of ways to do whatever it is that we want to do and then tag His name along on it. That's not what He's interested in. God wants us to be a people that understand there's a difference between right and wrong, sin and not sin, righteousness and unrighteousness, and it's God is the one that establishes that, not us. And the Lord invites us, come follow me. I'll show you the way to take. God wants all of us to be saved. He wants to help us with that. In the 127th chapter of Psalms, in the first verse, it says, except the Lord build the house.
Yes.
What?
Labor in vain to build.
They labor in vain to build it. Yeah, but what if you have a whole bunch of people that are professed Christians, you get a big group of ministers together and they've all decided that this is a good design and it ought to be okay. What saith the Lord? What does the word of the Lord say? Who's built your house? Except the watchman. What did it say? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. Who's keeping your city tonight? Did you know that except you have the Spirit of the Lord in your heart to speak to you, to open up what truth is, to help lead and guide you and show you, hey, this is wrong. Hey, stay away from that. That's unlike me. Don't go that direction. Folks, we're desperate for the Spirit of God to be in our hearts tonight. We're desperate for the Lord to build our house. The question is, who's built your house? Who spends the most time in your house? Talking about your heart, your mind. Who has informed your decision around how you conduct your life and how you think about things? People say, well, I can't help how I think about it. I mean, I can't help it. Yes, you can. You have a lot to say about how you think. It has everything to do with what you allow yourself to be exposed to. You put yourself in a place where God is not present. You put yourself out where the world is and where they do their thing. And that's where you are. It will affect the way that you think. And the way that you think affects the actions that you take. And there are consequences to your actions. Who's building your house tonight? Who has built your house? How much time have you spent? Lord, what doth the word of the Lord say? Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, I'm getting ready to go out in the world and I'm getting ready to do this or that. Lord, what do you think about it? Lord, I present myself this way in the world. Lord, are you pleased with that? Lord, you're living in my house. Lord, you want me to be the temple. Said the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. But if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I didn't make that up. It would be convenient if it wasn't that way. But I can't keep the temple clean to be in alignment with Jesus Christ if I don't spend any time with Jesus Christ. I've got to give Jesus Christ time and space in my life. I want Him to build my house. I don't want the world to be the one deciding how I'm going to dress, where I'm going to go, how I'm going to think, how I'm going to pattern my life, how I'm going to think about my Christian experience. May God help us. The Lord wants you to have an individual experience. God wants you to have an experience that's based and rooted and grounded in the Scriptures. And He wants to get us to the place where we are safe and secure from the things that would come and destroy and wreck our lives and cause our family members that we influence to go off track as a direct result of decisions that I made.
God, help us. I want to be protected from that. I want to live in a house that the Lord's hands of approval can be over. And He can say, this is my house. We heard this morning a message, and it talked about private property. Is your property private tonight? Oh, listen, what all do you let in? Do you have a fence around it? Do you have some protective barriers around it so the wolves can't get in? Have you erected some things so that the things that so easily tempt you and would get you in sin, have you yourself shown the Lord that you care enough about your experience that you're going to draw some lines in the sand and say, I'm not crossing that line. I'm going to put a barrier up. I'm going to put a protection up to keep that thing from coming in. People say, well, that's not necessary. You can't earn your way into heaven. God's the one that gives grace. The devil tried that on Jesus too. The devil came along to Jesus and said, you'll be all right. Go, you can jump. Yeah. Jump off there. I mean, the Bible says the angels will bear you up. You can do that. And Jesus said, and it also says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. How much do you care about this thing? What's your house like? Who's building it? If the Lord came along and looked at it, would we be able to say, Lord, I want to show you this over here. Lord, I want to serve you in this area. And I read in the scripture where it said that this is what you are pleased with. And your Holy Spirit was so good to come talk to me, Lord, about that. And thank you for forgiving my sin. Lord, I can't earn my way into heaven, but I want to please you. I want to be your disciple. And Lord, this is what I'm doing right here to try to please you better. And Lord, over here, here's what I'm doing. Lord, my purpose in life is to serve you. Lord, that's where my affection is. Lord, if you look around, Lord, you can go to whatever room in the house you want, but you'll find that my house has been built according to the Word of God because I'm interested in making it home safely. I don't want to be on the other road. Can you say that? It gets close, doesn't it? You know, one of the things that it requires that seems so difficult today to get our arms around is time and space. Do you know that living for the Lord requires time on your part? You got to carve out time if you're going to live for the Lord. The Lord's not interested in you filling your plate up with everything else except Him. God wants us to be a people who are interested in reading the Word of the Lord and understanding what it is that He wants from us. It involves setting aside priority time and space to understand what truth is and how it applies to me personally in my life. It takes effort. It takes unwavering purpose. But there's blessing in it. That's where victory is. That's where the power is. There's two ways tonight, folks. There's just two roads. There's the road that's according to truth. And there's the road that leads to destruction. And it's a wide way. Sometimes people say, well, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm sorry, I got ahead. Work out your own salvation. Yes, that's what it says. But there's not enough time given to that second part. The Lord does say, work your own salvation out. And people can use that verse as a defense mechanism to try to deflect perhaps guilt. Maybe you don't like the judgment that you may feel. It's like, you work out your salvation, I'll work out mine because the Bible says that. But it follows it up and it says, with fear and trembling. Why? Because our salvation is based on the truth as given by Jesus Christ. It's not given by what I think or what I want. It's truth according to Jesus Christ. And so He said, you need to work it out on your own. Come to me. Read my word. Be filled with my Holy Spirit so that I can help you. I want to head the enemy off at the pass right here. I know that we cannot earn our way into heaven.
I know that it is only by the grace of God that any of us can be saved. I can't write a list complete enough on this board of rules to follow to get in because I can't pay the price. Neither can you. It's only by the shed blood of Jesus. However, we have a responsibility to come to the table that Jesus has spread.
Yes, that's right.
The Lord paid a wonderful price, a terrible price, to spread the table of salvation and Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and victories and increased vision. Mountains that He wants to give us. And He's put it out all on a table that I could never begin to be able to afford. But my part is to come to the table. My part is to be willing to turn away from things that may be hindering me in my relationship so I can come down and sit down where the Lord is. Be a disciple. Are you a disciple tonight? Did you know that to make it to heaven, we need to be disciples? You know what disciples are? They're followers. Who are you following? People? What you want? Somebody else's truth? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And the only way I'm going to be able to get a hold of grace and truth is to be in touch with Jesus Christ. That means being a disciple. What road are you on tonight? Are you comfortable with the road that you're on? This verse said, only few will find it. And it's not because it's complicated. It's not because it was only designed for a few people. It's not because the Lord's holding out to just give it to just a special few. He designed it for you. And He gave you the ability. Gave you a heart. That you too can find yourself on the way to the celestial city. You too can hear the words, well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's for all of us. The scripture says, behold, I come quickly. Can we say tonight with a clear heart, even so, come Lord Jesus? What road are we traveling down? I want to make the right decision. I want to set my affection on things above and not on things in the earth. I want to give myself to understanding, Lord, what do you want from me? And I want to take to heart the exhortation that Paul gave when he said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Pray for me. I want to be true. I want to make it in. And I want you to make it in too. Amen.